Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Sabbath. It's a wonderful weather we've got today that God's blessed us with. Something's been on my mind a lot lately, and I wanted to share it with you and ask if maybe this rings true to you too. What I have for you is a question. Have you ever found yourself saying, "That's not fair"? By the response, I'd assume everybody pretty much has said some form of "That's not fair." I think it's interesting that the day we live in this society, fairness seems to be the law of the land. If you look at it, the high standard that is placed on fairness seems to be everywhere. And that's what people use to justify their actions or to say, you know, we shouldn't do this because it's not fair. So with that in mind, I have a question for you. Is fairness the right standard? Is fairness the right standard that we should have? We're going to take a look at three examples in the Bible. Two of them are parables and one's an actual event. So we'll start with the parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, and that's in Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. Luke 15, 11 through 32. What I'd like to do is just, since most of us are aware of the prodigal son, let's start in verse 25. Now, the prodigal son, if we remember, is a young son that got his inheritance early, went out, wasted it, saw the error of his ways, repented, and came back to his father, and was greeted with joy by his father. His father took him in, and where his son, his young son, came back just to be a servant to his dad, instead his father embraced him, gave him a robe, a ring, and treated him like a son, more than he was expecting. But that's not what I want to focus on. I want to pick up after that. And that's the older son, because there's two sons in this parable. So we'll start in verse 25, and this is after the father had entreated his younger son. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has been received safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." Now look at the response of the older brother. You can see fairness creeping in right here. In verse 28, "But he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed a fatted calf for him.'" And his father's response, which is interesting, is, "It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." See, the older brother was not going by the right standard. So again, is fairness the right standard? Let's look at another example in Matthew 20, 1 through 16, and this is a parable of the laborers. And most of us are familiar with this parable too, so I'd like to just read the first two verses and then continue on in 8 through 16. And the first verse is Matthew 20, verse 1. "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard." And then as the story progresses, the landowner went out and he continued to bring people in at the third hour, the sixth hour, ninth hour, up to the 11th hour. And then we go down to verse 8. "So when the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, 'Call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' But when the first came, they supposed," or verse 9, "'and when they came, who were hired in the 11th hour, they received a denarius.'" So they got the full wage, full day's wage. Verse 10. "But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received a denarius." So here's where the problem begins. They're looking at this from a standpoint of fairness. If we continue in verse 11, "And when they received it, they murmured against the landowner, saying, 'The last men have worked only an hour. You made them equal to us who have borne the burden and worked in the heat of the day.' But he answered them, and he said, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree to work for me for a denarius? Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil against me? Because I'm good. See, it's a difference in view. The landowner had every right to pay whatever he wanted to do. And he made that very clear. If you continue to 16, so the last will be the first and the first will be last, for many are called but few chosen. What's our attitude going to be, who have labored for a long time, for those who might come in at the very last hour? Is it going to be an attitude of fairness? Are we going to be upset because we have the same wages? We don't have a right to. So let's look at our third example in Jonah. And we'll start in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10. This is the story of Nineveh. And I think most people are familiar with this story also, where God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh and to warn the Ninevites of their wicked ways. At first, Jonah didn't want to do it, but he was convinced otherwise. And if we start in verse 10, this is what happens. The Ninevites have repented of their ways. God warned them, and they repented. And in verse 10, chapter 3, then God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God relented from disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And I have a little side scripture here, if you want to just jot this down, is Jeremiah 18, verse 8. And that kind of gives reference to why God chose to make this decision. But if we continue on in verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. I would say there was a little bit of fairness involved in Jonah's mind, that he just didn't feel it was fair. These people were wicked and evil, and God forgave them and did not do what he said he was going to do because they repented. So he prayed to the Lord and said, "Ah, Lord, was this not what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious, merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." So now Jonah's just kind of saying, "I knew you were going to do this," you know? And he's missing the point, though. Then the Lord said to him, "Is it right for you to be angry?" You know, the vision of fairness had crept in so deep into Jonah's mind, he missed exactly what he just spoke of as God, being gracious, merciful. Why did he not dwell on those things? Why did he not praise God for those things? Instead, the blindness came from this sense of fairness and this anger that developed up into him. So that's why I ask you again, is fairness the right standard? If we view life and our relationships through the standard of fairness, we're going to be disappointed. There's a higher standard that we should be viewing life through, and that's God's standard. The right standard is God's standard. God is loving, righteous, merciful, peaceful, true, just, gracious. See, when you think about fairness, it doesn't go that deep. You lose a lot of detail when you think of things from a fair standpoint. You don't go into the grace. You don't go into the mercy. You don't go into the just. You don't go into what's right. It covers them and it blurs them out. We're called to the higher standard, to think of these things in detail and to live our lives according to that. So God's standard is the right standard. God is more than fair. When we view God through these standards, God's standards, we'll realize how great God is and how great life is.